Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Cinemax podcast. We're doing something different again this week, something we've not done too many times and something I'm still not quite sure I understand, and that is the Cinemax Royale, which was Nathan's brainchild. Nathan is the co-host who I haven't introduced yet. My name is Cal Artemis, and joining me, as I've already alluded to, is Mr. Nathan Sackle-Hanna. Can you tell my brain's not screwed on today?
You sound more awake than you did last week.
Yeah, that's true. But I've had a really busy time since then. That's why we're recording really last minute this time, because last week we did it early because I was going away. This week we've done it really late because like everything's been a bit hectic. So it's been carnage, really. But how are you?
I'm still tired from Monday. So Monday, like obviously we know because it's in the title, but we're doing all the Wallace and Gromits. And Monday night we watched them both. We watched them all together. Yeah, both of them. And I think we was up until like what? 2 o'clock in the morning watching them. Because we started quite late. So I'm really fucking tired from that still. But outside of that, yeah, I'm all good. I just had 10 days off work. I'm back to it. So it's just getting back into the swing of things. But trying to watch films still.
Yeah, I've just come back after a week off, and it's the most depressing feeling in the world going back to work after a week off, honestly, man. But Christmas decorations are up now, and I counted it earlier. I've already watched 11 Christmas movies.
Ridiculous. What's the date today? I can't
believe it. 13th of November.
It's too early. It outstays its welcome by Christmas.
No, it does not. I'd start if Halloween wasn't at the end of October, I'd start in October.
I think the fact that we had a conversation and after we recorded one of the, was it the last episode or the Halloween episode? And I'd specifically say we're not doing Christmas episodes until December.
I know, yeah, because I'm in the zone now. I've watched loads already. I'm loving it. The way I see it, if Netflix and the cinema are releasing Christmas movies at this time of year, then this is the time of year to be watching them. I went and watched Red One with Mr. Dwayne Johnson.
But you're watching Hallmark Christmas movie.
I've watched a few of them, yeah. And by God, are some of them bad.
Oh, God.
More of them have been shit than good so far. But, you know, sometimes every once in a while, you unearth a gem. But I watched that Red One at the cinema with Chris Evans. Not really. Very cheesy. Like, I said this to Eleanor because she loves Scrooge as well now. It feels like the sort of thing, like, did a parody in Scrooged. So like when Frank Cross is a TV executive and we're seeing all these like ridiculous Christmas specials at the beginning with John Majors helping Santa, it feels like this would have been a fake movie like that, because it's just a bit over the top. It's The Rock playing Santa's bodyguard, for Christ's sake.
It looks like a Netflix movie.
Yeah, but it was all right. My threshold for quality of Christmas film is so low. So I was like, I had a good time with it. That's all I need.
That's true. I've not watched any Christmas movies yet.
And when is your limit? When do you start?
1st of December, Christmas. The month of Christmas.
December.
The month of Christmas. Christmas decorations up. Muppets Christmas Carol.
You don't even get 4 weeks there, though.
Good.
Oh, no, not good. Sound like fucking Grinch.
Which, I'm going to say it now before we get there. Overrated, but whatever. Fucking
Grinch.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. But I think the way people... we're not here for that today.
I almost got you talking about Christmas already. No, as you alluded to earlier, we are doing every Wallace and Gromit movie. We're ranking them in a royale fashion, which, I'm going to try and remember this. So we're going to start with the first one, and then we're going to decide from there whether the second one is above or below it. And then from there, we're going to start at the top and decide, work our way through the entire list with each.
We have a definitive cinematic.
Yeah, we've done it in the past with Harry Potter.
And
Scream.
Scream, yeah.
I think those are the only two we've done, right?
Scream and, yeah, maybe. Did we do Pixar? Or was that Carnage?
No, that would have been Carnage. There's too many Pixar. We'd have been fucking sat here ranking like 40 films out of the second one.
Yeah, we did Harry Potter because that got a bit heated, I think.
What with
your? I can't do a 6-hour Marvel battle royale.
God, yeah. How many films are in there now? Like 40. That'd take a while. But yeah, we're doing the Wallace.
You've never seen them before.
You what?
You've never seen them before, Wallace and Gromit.
No, never. I'd never seen a single one of them. Like, I'd never seen a minute of a Wallace and Gromit movie or special.
It's weird, because to me, Wallace and Gromit is more Well, the first three are more feel more Christmassy than most Christmas films to me, because
Really?
they all, well, not in the, what they are, but they always, it's like when Harry Potter's on ITV, you know it's Christmas.
Yeah.
Like it's always on at Christmas, and like the new movie this year, that's at Christmas, that comes out on Christmas Day. It always felt like a Christmas tradition to watch a Wallace and Gromit. So that feels more like feels more Christmassy to me than most Christmas films do.
So is that what you've typically done in the past then? Is that something you do at most Christmases, watch like Wallace and Gromit?
Yeah, there's always one on Christmas Day, and I always try, we always try and watch one thing in that. Growing up, it was always, you know, watch a Wallace and Gromit movie.
Yeah.
Well, the shorts really, but they count as movies according to the studio. So, but yeah, it always felt very Christmassy to me, like a tradition.
And so you've obviously got a long history of them, but like this week was the first time I'd seen a single one of them. Yeah, we watched one. Like you said then, though, there's a new one coming out, so it felt timely to get them done and cover it now.
I think
Before the
it is
new
it
one arrives,
the 30th anniversary of them or 35th anniversary. I can't remember. It's
I think it
some.
must be. I think it's 35th because I feel like I remember seeing that the first one was 89.
Yeah, it's quite a long running thing. You can tell with that first one, but we'll get into that in a second.
Yeah. I think I've said though, like when it comes to claymation stuff, I'm not really sure I vibe with it.
Yeah.
I can appreciate how hard work it is because I had to do a very brief one for college before I went back to uni, and it was like 30 seconds and took me about fucking 2 days. Honestly, it's a lot of work. So I can, and also like with my design, seeing how well they make it look, because mine looked like it just been punched the fuck out of. So.
Oh dear.
So I can appreciate that. But yeah, most claymation stuff is not really my cup of tea, but who knows? Maybe that's changed now.
We'll see how much we enjoy them as we go through them.
Maybe that's changed. We'll crack on then. I'll get it underway and we'll start with the first short, which is called A Grand Day Out, right?
Yep.
Look at me
Wallace and
remembering.
Gromit in a grand day out.
Which is the introduction to Wallace and Gromit. It's just like it's a bit, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward story. A lot of them aren't this straightforward.
I mean, it's straightforward in the way that they want some cheese, and instead of going to the shop, they go to the moon.
Yeah, could have just gone Sainsbury's, but they went to the moon. So Wallace and Gromit go into the moon. What do you think of the first one?
It's always been my least favorite, and not just because the animation's obviously choppier, it's a lot rougher. But it's just not what, other than the robot on the moon is one of the most underrated Wallace and Gromit characters. I think he gets overlooked way too much. But yeah, it's not my favorite. I do still enjoy it. I think I letterboxed 2.5 stars on that one. I do still enjoy it, but it's not my favorite because I don't know, it just feels a lot rougher. The stories get more complicated as they go along, and this one's very, very quite, for Wallace and Gromit, it's quite simple. And it's a lot of, and I get it's probably the technology, not the technology, the creation process and stuff, but it is a lot of quiet, long, quiet moments that just kind of feel dragging on. So I do enjoy watching A Grand Day Out, but I won't watch that. It wouldn't be my first choice. There's a lot more I would go. So we already know it's not going to rank high for me. But
Yeah.
this, A Grand Day Out for you is your introduction. So I've been going on about how Wallace and Gromit is great and we should watch them and rank them all. But this is your, what just did puberty? This is your introduction to Wallace and Gromit. Did you know that this is, it got better after this one, or did you think it was going to look like this one forever?
I thought it was going to look around the same, yeah. And I remember watching the first one and I thought, fuck.
What have I got myself into?
Yeah, I was like, this can be a long night.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I didn't mind it. I just thought, like you said, it was very straightforward in the sense that they wanted cheese and went to the moon. So there was, like you said, there was a lot of like periods in the short where there was no dialogue whatsoever. Obviously the early ones, it's just Wallace is the only like speaking role. And it felt more like it felt like it was like a 3 minute short, but they stretched it out to like 30 minute type of situation. I felt like it was unnecessary. Although I did really like the narrative with the robot wanting to ski and it getting to do it on the moon in the end. That was fine. But yeah, after that first one, I was like, fucking, oh no. I've
Oh
still got like four of these things. I was worried.
and one feature length movie to get
Yeah,
through.
I was worried. I was very worried. But,
I do like there's like a lot of I put it in my Letterboxd review, so, and I feel this way about the first two in particular. But there's a lot of quiet jokes in the first one, like just stuff that's really just simple in the background, like it being just stuff like when he goes when he's cutting through the table and you can see it's happening, and then he cuts through the thing that's holding the chair up. And he cuts through and goes through it, and then he gets Gromit to something. I like those really, really quiet jokes. But yeah, it does feel a lot longer than it needs to be.
yeah, it did. Like I said, it really felt like, do you know you get these like little Pixar shorts before Pixar movies nowadays? It felt like one of them that they'd stretched out for half an
Yeah.
hour, and I just felt like it was way longer than necessary. So it wasn't a great introduction for me, fearing the worst. But then we got the wrong trousers.
Which comes along next, and
Yeah. Was there a big gap between them in terms of years of release? Do you know?
I don't know in terms of like what the gap was. I'm using my phone to record, so you probably can look it
Yeah,
up.
I'll look it up. Because, like you said, there is a significant jump.
The problem is that I've started using my phone to record, and then we start talking about stuff, and I'm like, I'll look that up while you talk. Nope, can't do that because. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, you were talking, and I was like, I'm going to look that up. And I was literally looking around for my phone. Oh, shit, right here, you twat.
Yeah, there was a 4 year gap. It feels larger to me.
It was a lot. It feels like we made one and then 10 years. Like, it, we'll do the weekly mention. A Grand Day Out feels like Terrifier 1.
Yeah, it does.
The Wrong Trousers feels like Terrified. Like, you've got that. You've clearly got a budget. You've got more know-how. You've got a bigger team. You've obviously refined the craft a lot more. But yeah, 4 years, it does feel a lot bigger than that. But The Wrong Trousers is such a massive jump. Did you feel relief when you saw the change?
Yeah, and I also just feel like the story works much better for me in the second one, which
Yeah.
was a lot more complex, and it's more about Wally's falling on hard times financially and inviting, like, advertising for a new roommate, and they get a certain Feathers McGraw, who obviously has been very, very hyped up by a lot of people. I don't know if it's a spoiler to say he's not in any of the others, because I thought this was like a recurring character, and it's just a one and done. But yeah, so that's like this Feathers McGraw moves in, and then it's just like the hijinks that little fucking sneaky bastard the like takes in when he's like trying to screw him over and commit crimes as a penguin.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. But I enjoyed this one.
Yeah, I think the obviously the first one's got the we want cheese, we're gonna go to the moon and they build a rocket ship, but it's still very like kitschy, like they have to light a fuse and they've got like cups of tea and a toaster in the rocket and stuff. Like it's very much got a style. And I think this one introduces more the like inventor aspect of the character. Even though in the first one they make a rocket ship, I think this is like you got contraptions, like the thing that gets him dressed in the morning, and you've got obviously the wrong trousers themselves, which it gives Gromit as a birthday present, so he doesn't have to go give him a walk anymore. It's like ex-NASA. I'm like, okay, sure.
Fucking terrible that. And then obviously Feathers McGraw hijacks them and somehow sneaks Wallace into them and uses it to commit crimes, which is just absurd, but really funny, really funny. So I think it's a big improvement on the first one.
It is, and I do love. I really like this one as well. I really like the obviously jumping animation, the jumping the storytelling as well. Because it's not a situation that they just kind of is stretched out like the first one. It's a full story. It has a
Yeah.
bit beginning, middle, end. It's got everything. The humor's a lot better. The when the Feathers is moves in and he plays the music to like wind Gromit up. It's visually loads better, visually funnier as well. Like seeing Gromit with the bags under his eyes always makes me fucking laugh. I relate to that. But loads of stuff as well. Like at the beginning when just really, really small stuff, like when he gets the post in the morning is like any post per chance and stuff like that, and it's Gromit's card, and it's just really, really stupid. And I'd be remiss and I would be shouted at by my wife if I didn't mention how delicious the jam looks on that toast. That is the best animated jam.
Yeah, it is. And we didn't even mention, like, when I mentioned the story, that it starts off on Gromit's birthday. And it is funny with the card, and he's like placing it on the table to try and get his attention and stuff. It's great.
The
Wallace is a fucking punk, though.
yeah, I think that's the thing with Wallace and Gromit. Like you obviously everybody loves Gromit more, and Wallace is just that dumb idiot. But then you watch it with like modern eyes, and you just think, actually, no, is he a dumb idiot or is he just a fucking
Yeah,
cunt?
you're just a selfish, lazy bastard.
Have you ever said cunt on the podcast before? Or am I the first?
I mean, I 100% reckon I've said that.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
There's got to be a chat time when I've said that.
But then there's like, again, smaller jokes where he's cutting out the eyes of the cardboard box aspiring him, and then he sees, and it cuts to the front facing, and it's him, his eyes, but on a
Yeah,
dog's cardboard box.
that was quite funny.
Just really, really small, stupid, funny bits that just make me chuckle every single time.
Yeah, and Feathers McGraw is a really like interesting addition to the story. Like, despite the fact this character doesn't speak, there are moments where he's like just on screen, he's just like looking, and it is kind of menacing. It's like, I don't really know how you do that.
This is beady little eyes. Like I heard you say, it's beady little eyes.
Yeah, he's just fucking staring at him. I'm like, get that guy gone.
But obviously the story does devolve and takes a massive sharp turn when he finally does is caught and is revealed to be the bad guy. And I heard you say, well, this fucking took a turn because, Gromit turns up with a rolling pin and then he just pulls out a fucking revolver.
Yeah.
And then it turns
Feathers
into a
McGraw
high
pulling out a
speed.
gun.
And it turns into a high speed chase where it's on a toy train track, which what's the term that Alfred Hitchcock uses? Is it the time bomb? Is it the what's the term for that Alfred Hitchcock uses when he puts something in play early in the film and then it comes in later on? I'm sure it's like
Oh, I
a
can't remember.
no, I'm blanking now, but it's gonna make me sound really stupid. But like it, obviously the train's introduced at the beginning of the movie, and at the end you've got the high speed chase with my favorite bit in any Wallace and Gromit, no matter the quality of all the others, is when he's on the train and he's got to build the track as the train's going, and it's like
Yeah, that's really impressive that they
oh,
do
so good, so good. He's getting shot at and it's deflecting off the lampshade that he's wearing as a helmet. It just evolves. So is that when you kind of realize that things definitely get a bit crazier in these kind of things?
Yeah, that well, after watching the second one, I was a bit more at ease, like, okay, this is I can get into this. The first one I thought, oh, this is just like quite dull. I thought this is going to drag. And then the second one, I was like, no, I actually really enjoy this. And we've already mentioned it once, but I'm mentioning it again because I like to mention it every week. But the scene when Feathers McGraw pulls out the gun did remind me of the first Terrifier when Art the Clown pulls the gun out and shoots the Tara at the beginning, like the one that we think's the final girl, and then she's like getting the best of him, so he just spits his dummy out and pulls out a gun. That's what it reminded me of when I saw it. And I also really love the bit when Wallace doesn't recognize him until he takes the hat thing off. No, I enjoyed it. I definitely think this is above the first one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to argue on that one.
No, I don't think
Definitely,
any discussion.
definitely not.
It definitely comes in immediately above the first one.
It's loads better. The bit where he goes on his first walkies with the wrong trousers, and then he just takes his lead off and goes playing on the park. Brilliant.
Yeah, very good.
But no, it's definitely above the first one. And I think I know for a fact it's the one that most people consider the best. So yeah, interesting to see how you'll rank them, because I have a different ranking to what other people do. But I think Fevers McGrory is probably one of the more recognizable and famous Wallace and Gromit icon characters. And he is coming back for the next one, for the new
Oh, is
film.
he?
Yeah. So the next one's the one that's coming out Christmas Day is called Vengeance Most Foul. And he comes back for that one. So
That's exciting then.
yeah. I kind of hope more bad guys, and it's not just one bad guy. But I think Bevers McGraw is that one character. I mean, he is in the others in the backgrounds.
I saw there's a poster on the wall in one of
Yeah,
them.
like a wanted poster and like
Yeah.
a picture in the background and stuff. But yeah, there's he's coming back as the main villain in the new one.
That's
So
exciting.
yeah.
Cool.
So we've already got Wrong Trousers Above Grande out.
Yeah, so wrong
Yeah.
trousers, grande out so far.
I've got a feeling I know where Grande Art's going to land on this scale.
Yeah, I think you might. But then moving on to the next one, which is only 2 years later. So these actually were released quite close together, and that's A Close Shave,
Yeah.
which is it starts off quite
Do you want to,
quickly.
before we get into it, do you want to talk about how you had your mind blown?
Listen, I was fucking shell shocked when I realized that was Shaun the Sheep. Let me tell you, I had no idea Shaun the Sheep came from Wallace and Gromit. So when that happened and they named the sheep Shaun, I was like, oh shit. I think I actually like audibly made a fucking reaction to that. I was like, what the fuck's going on? I couldn't believe it. Yeah, everyone loved that reaction. I think I must have been the only one there that didn't know.
You look your limb forward and you see.
I know, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I'd never put that together that it was from, despite the fact it's like a similar art style, I never thought it was from Wallace and Gromit. Never.
Know, Shaun the Sheep, famously known from Wallace and Gromit.
And I had no idea. So when that sheep showed up, I just thought, well, that looks a bit like Shaun the Sheep. And then when they called it Shaun, I was like, oh shit, Shaun the Sheep's from Wallace and Gromit. I was shocked. I was really shocked.
What did you think to A Close Shave?
I loved it. I really liked it. Not just because Shaun the Sheep showed up and just ran shit. I think it was great. I like it was the first introduction of another speaking character other than Wallace, which was interesting. He had a love interest, which is a theme they return to every single time from this point onwards. One of the horniest men I've ever seen. He's always looking for a woman. But yeah, I really liked it, and I think the story with like the robot dog on the hunt for all these like sheep,
Spoilers.
that's how they made
Spoilers.
them. You are?
Spoilers.
Hey, we've already spoiled it that Shaun the Sheep's in it, so no, I'll tell you. But yeah, there's a robot dog. I really like this one. I
Yeah.
really like the story. I really like the beginning when it was like nighttime and there was all the red, which was obviously to like allude to like danger and like the bit where the sheep gets out and the dog's like driving and like just looking through the rearview window. I just think it looked like it was like a visible like step up in just how it all was set about. I think it's funny like it's the first like just a really random that they're window cleaners. I don't know what that's about. Don't know where that came from.
I like that every single one. There's some that like they are something a bit different,
Yeah.
and they just mold themselves to whatever the story is. But yeah, I love that opening too because it's a very like I don't know very different tone to the story. But yeah, sorry, carry on.
I just think it's taking the story in a different direction and having, like I said, having the actual dynamics with a different speaking character just added a layer to the story for me. I just think it made it more watchable in a sense. I think some of the stuff they were doing with all the different sheep was great, like when they were all on the motorbike and then they were like on the pyramid type of like thing. I just think I really enjoyed it. I really, really enjoyed this one.
When they're all like jumbled up and he goes, sort yourself sat down there, and it just does a wide shot and they're all in the
Yeah,
pyramid
I thought it was
burrowing.
great. I love the showdown at the end with the villain and the contraptions and Shaun the Sheep helping save the day. My guy Shaun, loved that guy. I just thought it was great. I really enjoyed this one.
I really love this one and it does feel different. And I think well, kind of one thing I didn't say about the Wrong Trousers, as opposed to Grande Out, like the Wrong Trousers is quiet a lot of the film. There's no dialogue for a lot of it because it's really mostly about Gromit and Feathers, and neither of them talk. And that was a criticism against Grande Out, but not a criticism for The Wrong Trousers, because it just worked a lot better because the visual storytelling was a lot better and all that kind of stuff. But then watching A Close Shave, so close to watching it after Wrong Trousers, I realised how much I missed the dialogue. And this is very much more of a Wallace story than a Gromit story. And like having all of that dialogue with, what's the name?
What, the lady from the shop?
Yeah, I want to say Beatrice, but I don't think it is.
I'll tell you right now, because I have my phone to hand. She's called Wendoline.
I was close.
Very close.
Like, she's a great character. Obviously, she's in on it, and there's obviously something wrong there. And I think this is where you kind of get the sense that these shorts are always going to have twists, and you're kind of expecting it to be her and all that kind of stuff. Did you expect that the Preston, her dog, was going to be a robot?
No, not for one fucking second, obviously. I thought that was like a really weird reveal that the dog was a cyborg. But it was funny, and I think it worked. And I think the design of the dog afterwards was really cool as well, like the robot dog.
Yeah, I think, again, that's that visual style that they've got in the contraptions and stuff. It all feels very like a very, very early season of Doctor Who kind of technology. It just looks like it's made out of like kitchen utensils and LEDs they can find. I just really love the kind of design of it. But yeah, again, lots of funny stuff, like you said, with it. Anything with the sheep is great. All that bits with Sean at the beginning when he's going around the house and you don't know, and then you've got Wallace with his feet up on the sofa and he doesn't realise it's on top of the sheep. All that kind of stuff. Sean's brilliant. Wallace going, Gromit going to prison for fucking sheep murdering. And
yeah,
then
that's
it's
funny.
Like, and then it's showing you in the newspapers and it's like, trial still ongoing, more people have come forward, and then Gromit gets life, and you're like, what the fuck? or he's given the chair or something. And it's
and
like,
Wallace fucking doesn't believe, like, Wallace thinks he's guilty. That piece of shit never trusted Gromit.
He did break him out of prison, though, to be fair.
That's true.
And then tells him he's going to be on the run like a dog.
Yeah, that was funny. I liked that. That was really
brilliant.
Funny. I just think it was more ambitious as well, like,
yeah,
what we're doing with the claymation, like having such a large cast as opposed to just the three. Like having
yeah.
all these different sheep, I just think it was really good.
Yeah, and you've got all the, like, everything in the first one is pretty much just, everything in the first one is clay and painted pictures. Everything in the second one looks like clay at minimum. If it is or not, I don't know, but it looks just clay. But this one had the wool and like the extra effects. And I'm going to take the time to talk about my favourite effect in any animation of this kind, stop motion animation ever. I love stop motion. Anybody who knows me knows I love stop motion animation. But the soap suds, I will never get over how fucking brilliant they look. I don't know how they do it. It's literally my favourite effect in any stop motion film ever. And I love it so much. It's so beautiful.
It is quite clever how they've done it. It was just great.
Yeah, I really, really enjoy it. And like I say, the twists were just so outlandish, but you don't think, well, that's stupid. It just works. Again, the little joke where they go into the evil lair and it's his Knitomatic, but it's got somebody else's name on it. And it's like, oh, that's mine. It's just really silly, stupid jokes that I just really, really love. But this is. I think potentially where the first crossroads might come. Where do you rank it? Do you think it's better or worse than Wrong Trousers?
That's quite tough. I think these two are so close for me in quality. But I think I'm going to say it's above Grand Day Out.
Definitely.
And it's above Wrong Trousers.
Okay, we're fine.
Oh, you agree?
We are fine. I get a lot of shit, and I have got a lot of shit because I put all my Letterboxd reviews on Instagram, and I just got a lot of shit from that bitch of a sister-in-law again.
Oh.
Who I know will be listening to this episode, so fuck you, Sophie.
We need to stop pretending we care about her opinion, to be fair.
Well, yeah, that's true. We really don't. Oh no, I think she likes Close Shave, actually. It's somebody else that I think was.
Oh, well, never mind then. Take that back.
Well, no, we can still, fuck you.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, Close Shave is my favourite. And I know I get a lot of shit because everybody loves the wrong trousers.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I really like the long trousers, but I just think, I don't know if it's just the addition of another like speaking role and having like a different character for Wallace to like bounce off and having that sort of dialogue. Rather
Yeah.
than you just talking to empty space the entire time, I just think it works better.
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of little things I like better. I think it looks this. I put it in my again. I put it in my review, but this is the closest. This is where it looks the best, I think, because it doesn't look that rough that you can notice the imperfections. So you can still see the fingerprints. You can still see like it moving when it moves and stuff. Like for me, I love that in claymation, but the later ones look too clean.
Polished.
So yeah, too polished and. Like a little bit of CG additions and stuff like that, you could tell it's too clean. So I think it looks the best. I think it's the most ambitious in terms of animation as well. I do think it's the funniest, and I think like they've just done more stuff like the robot dog, the wool stuff, the flying plane. That's the side of the bike for some reason.
Yeah, that was really funny.
You've got more nighttime scenes. So you've got a new animation. I say all this, I still think the difference between the wrong trousers and the close shave is like 3 or 4% for me. Like they are so tight in how great they both are. But the close shave, I just think is so much like to me. I think it's probably the one that I watched the most as a kid as well. So that probably has an influence. But for me, like as an actual short film, I do think it is inches over the as better.
Yeah, I agree. And also, only one of them is the origin story to Shaun the Sheep. So I don't know what to tell you at this point.
Yeah,
So
no.
next, I didn't realize this watching them, but now I realized it when I went on Letterboxd afterwards. But next isn't the next short. It was the film that came afterwards, wasn't it?
No, we watched the shorts first.
And then we watched Curse of the Were-Rabbit. But
Then we
Curse of
watched
the
Curse of
Were-Rabbit
War.
actually comes out before the last short, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And I'm not gonna lie, it's because we didn't really want to have to change the disc.
No, it wouldn't have made sense with a lot of effort.
I mean, it'd be very minimal effort, but it just cut me off.
Well, any effort is too much effort for me.
Yeah, that's fair. So, are we
You should
going
know that
Curse
I
of the Were?
worked with you for a long time.
Yeah, no, that's fair. So, Curse of the Were, maybe next, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the first feature length, and until Christmas Day, the only feature length story in the Wallace and Gromit universe.
Yeah.
It's the only like proper movie so far, and you can tell they've really upped the game. Like, there's a huge cast in Curse of the Were-Rabbit. Like, when you compare it to A Close Shave, which came out maybe I think it's like a decade before, to be fair, there was a big gap between them that
Yeah.
had two speaking roles. But this one, there's quite a lot. There's the whole village, there's the priest, there's the love interest, there's the annoying ex slash potential fiance, or whatever. I don't know what the fuck he was. There's some of the like
The
name
policemen, the village people, yeah, there's not the actual village people. They didn't come in and do
if
the wire.
only
If only, yeah.
that might have changed my ranking.
I
But
mean,
no.
I remember this coming out, and I remember it being like, especially as a Brit, like it being like a pretty big deal, because it was a Wallace and Gromit movie, and traditionally it's always been the Wallace and Gromit trilogy. I remember it being quite a big deal.
Yeah, and I think it's got a decent cast as well. Like, they brought in Peter Kay, they brought
I
in,
mean, I thought of all, you've got Ralph Fiennes in there, but you say Peter Kay first.
yeah, I was about to say Ryan's afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, Peter Kay. You've also got, anyone that's watched The Royal Family will know Liz Smith, who plays
Yeah.
Nana, one of my favorite TV shows, like especially British TV shows ever. I watch that every year at Christmas, and as soon as I heard her voice, I instantly knew who it was. Like, it's so recognizable to me. You've got like Helena Bonham Carter as well. Like, it's a decent like cast.
Some good recognizable British people in there.
Yeah, and it's just expanded. Like, it just feels like they've taken the universe and just like taken it to another level. the story, obviously, The Curse of the Were-Rabbit, which is about some mysterious monster that's prowling the streets at night, eating people's veg and like stuff like that, is quite ridiculous, but it was entertaining enough.
Think it lends well to the theatrical side of it rather than the short,
Yeah,
because it.
they obviously had to do something to make it necessary to tell this story over like 80 plus minutes. And they did a solid job with that, I thought. It didn't drag. Like, it might sound ridiculous, but it almost felt like it went faster than a grand day out to me. Like, it just, obviously,
No, I agree with that one,
it
to be
just felt
fair.
like it ran at a decent pacing. Like, it was like quite smooth, whereas a
Which
grand day
is
out
impressive
drag.
given that that's the one we watched last, and that's the one that took us up to 2 o'clock in the morning.
But I think that's a testament to like the film, how good the film was. I thought it was like a strong, like, feature debut, and I enjoyed it. I saw the twist coming. Spoilers alert! I knew that was pretty obvious to me immediately. Like afterwards, Josh was saying, "Oh, did you see that coming or something?" And when I remember when it was revealed in the movie, like Josh and Kira, I think looked for my reaction, and I was like, "I, it was so obvious to me." I don't think that was a lockup secret.
I think that's the bigger. I don't even think it's a needs to be a secret. I think it's just the out of, well, actually not out of all of them, but because we've got another one to talk about, but it is the most, this is clearly obviously what's going to happen kind of thing, especially with it being a were-rabbit. It's a, that would indicate a human turning into a rabbit.
Yeah.
And I think as soon as you kind of have that scene where they meld minds, you can kind of see it's coming. I do like the fact that obviously this one's more played on a like a B movie horror kind of drive-in B
Yeah.
movie horror kind of vibe, whereas I don't really know what you'd class a close shave as, but The Wrong Trousers obviously like that kind of bank robbery movie and a matter of life and death, that like femme fatale type thing. But I do love the like the B movie horror aspect of it, and it's got kind of those things sprinkled throughout with like the vicar and the technology and everything. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was good. I think the addition, like the new cast as well, was really good. I think Ralph Fiennes was fantastic. And I like I saw not that it's obviously playing directly on it, but I saw like homages to a couple of different movies within. Like I feel like the stuff with him and hunting down the beast really felt like Beauty and the Beast to me. Like it felt like Gaston, and his determination to take down the beast for a woman who is in love with the monster. Like I got real Beauty and the Beast vibes from that, and also it felt like there's hints of like American Werewolf in London. Like I thought I liked the inspiration it clearly took from.
Well, there's that bit when he's when you actually physically see him changing and you see his fingers getting longer and before they turn into things. I'm like, yeah, that's clearly American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
Like, homage right there.
And there's also like you could say the beginning when he uses the machine, it's like The Fly as well, like doing the experiment and acts like the way the animal lands and it kind of goes wrong. It's The Fly as well.
No, I've not thought about the fly, but yeah, it's all, yeah, I really enjoy it. And like the whole, oh, actually, no, we've gone past it. There's like a bit of a, with the technology and how they get into like the vans and stuff, there's like very much Thunderbirds vibes in there as well. Like whenever you like getting suited and booted, I love that as well. But yeah, I think this one's, I think it benefits from having a bigger cast, because then if we was to watch, if we was to watch it in actual release order and went back to A Matter of Life and Death, because that's back to, I think you only
Scaled
get,
down.
you get Wallace Gromit, two extra characters and only one other character in the entire film, and that's in the opening. I think we'd feel we was missing out, but because we watched this last, it kind of felt like this was the right order, the natural order of things. But it's such a big, I mean, obviously you can tell when the movie was released because Peter Kay's in the cast, but like he's really, really good in it, and Ralph Fiennes is really, really good in it. Helena Bonham Carter is hilarious in it. You know, it's all very strong and all very good. I think it does feel, I think like you said, as a testament to it, it does feel like a, it belongs as one of the shorts. But even though it's longer, it doesn't feel like it drags on for too long. It just feels like it naturally fits in with everything. I think you could probably cut out a little bit of it, and it would streamline a lot quicker. Maybe the second time that the rabbit goes on the warpath. But yeah, no, I actually really enjoy it, and I know a lot of, I mean, I'm going to say hardcore Wallace and Gromit fans, but if there's anything, if there's people who's calling themselves hardcore Wallace and Gromit fans, get a life.
Yeah,
But
great name.
he says with a shelf full of lightsaber. I think a lot of the more hardcore Wallace and Gromit fans don't like it as much, and feels like you lose a bit of the charm of it. I think the charms are still there.
I honestly feel like it's like a natural culmination of the work they've done before, and it's like a gradual rise. And like, I think that's probably because we did watch it last. It felt like the conclusion of this like period of like hard work that the creators have done, and they've just scaled it up with each movie, like each installment. I just think it felt fresh as well because there was like all these new cast. It felt unique, and it really works for me. I didn't know that about like the big fans consider it.
Yeah, I think the, I mean, I kind of see where they're coming from, because it feels like my criticism is it of it is it feels too clean, and you can tell there are parts where CG has been used to implement or to kind of boost certain scenes. But a lot of them like feel like it loses that kind of like homemade charm. I was reading up on it when I got home, and it's like a lot of people. Well, sorry, burping. But I feel like they feel like a lot of it loses that kind of homemade charm, that kind of steampunky style, contraptions and all that kind of bit. I don't feel like it does too much. The technology does look a lot cleaner, but it's still it. I think it's just silly criticisms, because they don't want to admit it's as good as the older stuff. Like the photo frames of the lights, the eyes lighting up and stuff like that. It's still, and you know, there's a lot of callbacks in it. You know, the first time you kind of see the moon is from the back, the cellar doors opening, which is of course the same cellar doors, and the cellar is laid out exactly like it was in A Grand Day Out, and you know, Febs and Agora in the background and on a wanted poster and a lot of that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, I like it. I think it fits perfectly in with the rest of the stuff. I don't think it is one of the better ones, but
Cool.
I do really enjoy watching it.
Cool. On that note, where do you put it then? Is it above A Grand Day Out?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Is it above The Wrong Trousers?
Don't know. I don't think it is, because oh,
No, I agree. I
okay.
agree.
I
And
thought. I thought.
this is me realizing this is going to be way more straightforward than I thought it was going to be.
We should just do reviews, regular straightforward reviews, shouldn't we? Yeah. No, I think it's really, really good, and I think the gap between The Wrong Trousers and The Curse of Were-Rabbit isn't as big for me as most it would be for most people.
No, I mean, I know saying it's below those two might look like it's inferior, but I don't think, like you said, I don't think it's too far off.
I think it feels more like a Wallace and Gromit. I feel it feels more like a part of Wallace and Gromit than The Grand Day Out does, and that was literally the thing that started it all off. So it's interesting, because obviously, for me, I mean, for most people, A Grand Day Out, Wrong Trousers, and The Close Shave—they're like the original trilogy. They're like, you can't touch them. They are like holy material.
So this is like the original Star Wars trilogy to some people.
Yeah. Whereas I kind of only see that as The Wrong Trousers and The Close Shave. So for me to kind of say it feels more of a part of that is kind of a, you know, it's not a big thing, because I don't really care that much. But it's like a big, it's a bigger sentiment. But for you who hasn't seen them until we watch them on Monday, do you feel like it's sacrilege to be putting them up against those two, or do you just kind of feel like you don't really care that much?
No, I just think, like I said, I feel like because the order we watched them in, I didn't realize at the time that I thought it was the latest installment anyway. And I just think being the first like big budget movie, it belongs in conversation with the big hitters in the franchise. I think the ambition that was shown to put a story like that out over 80 minutes, like, can you imagine how long that takes? Like, I just think the scale of it was really impressive. And the amount of hard work that obviously went into it, and like the way everything was just taken to another level with the cast and the story, I think it was like a really solid effort. So I don't think it's blasphemous to put it against like those guys at all. And it's definitely better than the first one. So
What was the first one?
yeah, that one could fucking miss me, I'll tell you right now, because I was got some serious beef with the first one.
Oh dear. Cool. So far we've got Close Shave on top, Wrong Trousers, Curse Were Rabbit, Grand Day Out. Let's talk about A Matter of Loaf and Death.
The final latest installment, back to a short.
Yeah, so this is the last one that was released until Christmas Day, of course, this year. So A Matter of Loaf and Death is about fucking hell. It's very straightforward. It's Wallace falling in love with a
Again,
woman again. Yeah,
third
who
time.
which he did in Curse the Were-Rabbit.
Yeah.
Falling in love. Oh, can I just mention before we didn't talk about Curse the Were-Rabbit, but even though it's not ranking high, it does have one of the better jokes in the entire thing, and that is when the two dogs are fighting on the plane that used to come from a fairground ride. And then it runs out of power, so they have to put some more money into it. And then
Yeah, that was
Gromit
really good.
checking his pockets, and he hasn't got enough change. And then the bad guy dog that's supposed to be terrifying, pulls out like a little knitted purse
Yeah,
and has
that
to
was really
put
good.
some change in. Brilliant. Anyway,
Also, I know we've moved on from it, but also the amount of sexual innuendos in Curse Were Rabbit as well was
oh,
really weird.
there's a lot of sexual
That
innuendos.
was really wild.
A lot of vegetable-based sexual
Yeah.
innuendos as well.
And even just a moment where the guy was outside and you could hear them in there, and it almost sounded like they were getting it on. She was like, "Oh, Wallace." I was like, "What's going on here?"
Oh, and the giant sexy rabbit that they put on top of the car.
Yeah.
I'd hate to think what had happened if he caught up to that rabbit.
It's a lot going on.
So no matter life and death, Wallace falls in love and eventually gets engaged to a former spokeswoman, poster girl for a bread company that he obviously has got a massive fan of, because he's got posters around her and everything. Obviously Gromit thinks there's something going off, because there's been the start to the story is that there's been lots of bakers that have been killed, have been murdered, obviously, because this time around they're bakers, and Wallace and Gromit are bakers, and they own a bread factory. Because they have to. And it turns out that the love interest is the one that's been killing everybody, and she wants to kill Wallace because it's the 13th and it would be her baker's dozen. Probably the worst pun in everything. Until she the you know Gromit saved the day. It's very, very straightforward,
Yeah.
to be honest.
Gromit's always saving the day.
Gromit is a fucking a real one.
Yeah. Wallace don't deserve that, homie. So watching this the way we did would have been, it's very different, and I think I viewed it very differently. But now knowing that it came out afterwards, I can't imagine how like it would have been a little disappointing to see
Yeah.
them scale all the way back again. Because they're either only the
But
three.
there's Wallace Gromit, the woman who's the Bakelite girl, whose name I'm
It was
blanking
played
on.
by Sally Lindsay, I know that, who is obviously a well-known actress in this country for numerous things, most specifically to me, Coronation Street.
Obviously.
But
There's
yeah, there's not much of a cast.
her dog. And then there's a baker at the very beginning of the film that gets killed, and a crocodile. That is it.
Yeah, it's very scaled back. But I liked the story. I liked that it was fairly straightforward. I thought she was like really good, like really, really like funny. I liked her character. I thought Sally Lindsay did a good job there. I liked the addition of the other dog, because usually Wallace Gromit's always scrapping with another dog, but this time they were on the same page, kind of like digging each other. And she obviously ends up in the car room at the end, and now I'm wondering whether she'll be a new one.
Do you know what? I actually was thinking that when I was watching it. I was like, are they gonna Are they going to include the female dog in the new one?
Probably
Bet
not. They
they
raise
did.
everyone.
I bet they knew this country's gone woke.
Yeah, they'll have him gay. No, that'd be the gammon's worst nightmare.
Probably.
A gay dog. But I really liked it, and I think the stuff for the bomb was really good, like when it was in his trousers.
Yeah.
Didn't realize. Although I didn't like the joke about Gromit wanting to put it in Yorkshire. Not sure that vibes with me.
That was
That got
probably
me.
pure for the fact that you were just sat right there.
Yeah, not that left a sour taste in my mouth because we can't be doing that. Not with God's County. But I did really like when he kept going to dispose of the bomb, and there was like he'd go out to one side and there'd be like these little cute like ducks or something, and he couldn't
Numbers.
get rid of them. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
And even I think the opening was really good as well, because like it was unlike what anything we'd seen so far. Like opening on that baker getting murdered, I was like,
Yes.
Jesus, this has taken a real turn. It's unlike the rest, but it was solid. I really enjoyed it. But I think again, if I watched it in the normal order, I might have felt differently seeing it go from this feature length movie with this huge cast to just like limited speaking roles again.
I get what you mean. See, for me, this is probably, it feels too clean. And that's just me being picky about visuals because I like that little bit of tactile feeling to the claymation. It felt too smooth. It feels too clean. And while I do like the story, it's too straightforward. Like I like a grand day out there, like we're out of cheese. Let's go to the moon. Wrong trousers is, yeah, he's a robber, but also having this massive high speed chase and he's got a gun and all that kind of stuff. Close shave, you've got the, it's a robot dog and a were-rabbit, you've got it's a werewolf, but it's a rabbit and it's Wallace. Whereas this is very much, as soon as you see the woman, you're like, she's the murderer. And there's no like, they try and make you kind of potentially think it could be somebody else, but there's literally no other character in the film. It's got to be her. So there's no kind of like big reveal. There's no kind of like big crazy twist. The big crazy twist is that there's a cake with a bomb in it, and it's funny, but it's not big and crazy enough to be put up against the ones for me. I do think a lot of it is funny. The bit with the it's very dark as well. Like the bit with the nuns and stuff. That's funny. All of the fact that she sleeps in a bed surrounded by the clothes of all the people she's murdered. Fucking
Yeah, that's wild.
it's pretty dark. And the fact that the way she gets killed is she gets on a hot air balloon and she's too fat for it, so she sinks into a crocodile den and obviously gets eaten.
Yeah, that's a hell of a way to go.
Pretty fucking dark. But it's just, I don't know, it's just too straightforward and I don't think it's as funny as the rest. I think it's a really well made piece, but it's just not as funny, not as good, doesn't look as great. I think it's just too straightforward. I think it's just a bit, for me, it's a horrible criticism. So it just feels a bit bland
Yeah.
compared to everything else, especially if we were to watch it after Were-Rabbit as well. As well, obviously I knew the order of it, but if you were to watch it after Were-Rabbit, it would have felt more bland. It's definitely the one that I've watched the least, not just because it's been released the latest, but just because I don't think I enjoy it as much.
Yeah, that's fair. I will say, knowing that it comes out after the Were-Rabbit, you would see like a significant step down in quality. So, with the way I watched it, it felt like it was just like this progression up, and that's what led to the film. But obviously, that's not how it went. Although I do think having the character, the scene when she bites herself and blames Gromit is fucking
Yeah.
crazy. That was really well done, and it showed how like sadistic she was. I liked the ending. I liked the whole showdown with the bomb and stuff, and in the house with the dogs. But yeah, I don't think it's as good as some of the other installments at all.
No, and I think I don't even know, like they don't really even attempt to say it's not her, because like when you first see her, she's riding down the hill and she her brakes are broken and they've got to save her in a pretty funny moment where like he jumps on the bike and he throws him Is it hot cross buns or muffins to stick between his legs to slow the brakes down with his knees? And it is funny, but like in the back, like she's saying, like, these my brakes don't work, I need to get them fixed, and it's showing you like Gromit perfectly stopping them. So you already kind of like in the first 5, 10 minutes, you already know it's her that's committing these murders. So it just kind of like too straightforward. Like, I don't know what you could have done to give it a big twist. I guess the bomb was supposed to be the out there crazy kind of thing, which is funny because it is like, oh, she's got me a cake, and then it's a bomb, a giant cartoon bomb that quite literally says bomb on it. But it's just not as out there as everything else, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think it's as smart as some of the other ones as well. They're
No.
very by the numbers in that
Yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
But do you have it above Grande Out?
I do still have it above Grand Theft Auto.
Me too. But I'm judging from everything we've both said there, we don't have it above Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
No, we don't. But I mean, I want to say we. Like, I do think Grand Theft Auto's got a lot more charm to it. But for me, it's just hard to watch.
Yeah, it drags.
I think if do you know what? I think if a Grand Theft Auto was as the same animation quality as everything else, I reckon it would probably score a lot higher. But I think it's the roughness of it that really drags a Grand Theft Auto down. But no, I don't rank it higher than Curse of Were-Rabbit, unless you do.
No,
And you want to argue it. Okay, fair enough.
not at all.
Oh, this was an easy episode. And we're clocking in at around just over an hour. So it's been nice. I'll see you next week.
Yeah, we haven't disagreed at all on any of them. That's interesting. I don't think that happens often.
Well, that we fully agree on everything.
Yeah, on like especially on a list like this, every ranking.
That's true.
So the completed Wallace and Gromit ranking in our eyes is number one, Close Shave.
Which is a very close shave to number two.
That's very true. Yeah, I like that. Which is Wrong Trousers.
Such a. I don't know if that was a patronizing or not. Is this a. Well,
No,
that. Yeah, carry
I was proud of that.
on.
Yeah, and so number two, Wrong Trousers. Number three, Curse of the Were-Rabbit. Number four, A Matter of Life and Death. And number five, A Grand Day Out. I think that's a solid list.
It's solid ranking. I think with a close. I think a lot of it will be like that for a lot of people, but with the top two switched,
Yeah.
to be honest. To be
Yeah,
honest.
those top two are very close. You could go either way.
Yeah. How. So you'd never seen him before we watched him on Monday,
Never.
literally 2 days ago. Do you feel there's a new one coming out Christmas Day? Obviously, you're going to be watching Christmas movies, but it comes out, that's on BBC, so you're not going to watch it live. I get that. You've got Christmas Day.
It's not going to cinema.
No, it's Netflix.
Why do they do this these days, man?
Do you know what, mate? Don't get me started.
It
Because
sucks,
so
doesn't it?
many Netflix films that I would have watched at the cinema, and now there's so many Netflix films I don't even think should be on Netflix.
Yeah.
But they actually put money into things like Glass Onion, Knives
That
Out,
should be in
needed.
cinema.
That could have been in the cinema, and it should be on Blu-ray. But that's a whole another conversation. But no, it's Netflix. It's BBC One on Christmas Day, and then Netflix on the 3rd of January. Yeah, Grace's birthday, the 3rd of January. So I know what we're doing on a birthday. Watching it again, probably. So I get you won't be watching it on Christmas Day because what will you be in Yorkshire at that point?
Yeah, I'm going up to spend it with my family. We're going on Christmas Eve. We're renting out like a holiday home in this little village near where we live anyway, but so we can all be in the same house together. Eleanor's coming up for it this year, so it'll be the first time she spent Christmas with my whole family.
Nice.
So yeah, we're gonna be with all kids and stuff, so there won't be much time for food.
Will you? What I'm trying to get is now you've watched these lot, other than the feeling of completion, which I know that you struggle with, do you feel like you're a bit of a fan now? Do you want to carry on? Does the thought of a new one make you not excited? Well, does
Tingle.
it? Yeah, does it make you dingle tingle?
I'll be watching it, put it that way.
Okay, cool.
We'll watch it. I really like some of them, and Like I said, I've not really been much on claymation before, but I really appreciated it. Like the hard work that goes into it and the technique. And now that I've watched them, I feel like I'm interested in knowing that like Fevens McGraw is going to come back. Like I'm invested in that story now. I did see though that the original voice for Wallace has passed.
Yeah, Pete Salas is he passed, but in a quite a funny story actually. A lot of people because they Wallace and Gromit, there's a lot more shorts, but it's like super short, like 2 minute shorts that we didn't watch.
Where were
And
they? Where are they?
crazy contraptions or something.
Where do you watch them though?
I think you can watch them on YouTube. There's DVDs and stuff. It's just like 2 minute shorts, but like a lot of them. And there's a lot of DFS adverts. They did quite a few DFS adverts, and a lot of people, when they announced that they're bringing a new voice in to do Wallace for this new movie, this is going to shock you, but the internet had some terrible words to say about it.
I don't believe that for one second.
They weren't happy, mate.
That doesn't sound
And
like the internet I know.
they
Everyone has sensible opinions and reactions to every bit of news these days, if you ask me.
Well, I'm going to blow your mind because they were perturbed, to say the least.
Well.
They had a bee in their bonnet, let's say, and they weren't happy that, and they were like, he's voiced him all the way up to this point. We can't replace him. It's not right. Blah, blah, blah. Completely not knowing that this person who's doing the new voice has actually been voicing him for quite a while in things like DFS adverts,
Oh,
and
really?
nobody, and they just couldn't tell. Even like hardcore fans were like, I just couldn't tell.
You know, it's hard when it comes to people passing. And like, there's obviously been a lot of discussion about Marvel's decision not to recast T'Challa, and they've just let Chadwick Boseman like that was his role, and that's the way it's been finished. And a lot of people have had discussions about that. And I can get it because it is like you can see them. But when it comes to animation, how many Mickey Mouses have there been?
This Mickey Mouse's Kermit the Frogs,
There's been
you
so
know.
many.
I mean, I was in the camp with, you know, T'Challa and Black Panther that he did a great job. He did a fantastic job, and he really brought that character out into the mainstream. But he brought the character out. He wasn't the character, and he was very vocal about that. Like, he loved the character and representation he brought, but it wasn't him. He was an actor. So, you know, you can carry, for me, the legacy of that character should have been continued with the character, not with the actor.
I
I
think that's
respect.
probably how he'd have wanted it and all.
Yeah,
It's
and
like this big deal that they had this like black mainstream superhero, and then now he's been retired for God knows how long. Like, I don't think he'd have wanted that to happen.
I think, it's, I get it, it's difficult. You know, the same, I mean, we know me, I'm a Star Wars fan. It's difficult when, like, Carrie Fisher died, and, like, what do you do? And it's all up to the estates of the characters, of the, not the characters, the actors that, their families and everything. And, you know, my opinions change. Like, I don't want anybody else to be Princess Leia. That's Carrie Fisher. So I think it's very, very, it's a very tough one. But I think, yeah, with animation, it's a majority of people won't know the difference. And clearly they didn't, especially like if you get in the right people. But yeah, I mean, I'm hoping you won't be able to tell the difference. And I don't think you will. I think his voice sounds very different in A Matter of Life and Death to Curse of the Were-Rabbit anyway, because obviously he's gotten a lot older. You can tell there's vocal changes. So.
It'll be interesting to see whether it's a noticeable difference, especially after watching them all. Only recently for the first time, whether I'll even pick up on it, but I can't imagine. Well, I don't notice much.
Probably not.
Do we know
But obviously, Wallace and Gromit's a big British thing. Would you say you can? Would you say you're a fan of Wallace and Gromit
I'd say so.
now? Okay.
I'd say, like, I didn't. I mean, even like A Grand Day Out, which I know I've joked about, and Matter of Life and Death, they're my two least favorites, but I wouldn't say I actively disliked any of it. I just thought the first one was a bit dull. I could
Yeah.
take it or leave it, but it wasn't something I was like, I hate this. Like, I thought it was fine, but then I think it's only got better from there. So I'd definitely say I consider myself a fan.
Yeah, I mean, I consider myself a Terrifier fan, but I don't know if I'd keep watching the first one. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
think I'll probably go straight to the second one.
Yeah, I think that's definitely how it is. And sometimes you don't have to like every installment, like overwhelmingly
I
in
don't like
the
episode.
franchises.
I don't like episode two. And out of the 38 Godzilla movies that I watched, that's
Got him in
mine.
there. Yeah, got him in there.
There's a few in there that I don't think I'll ever want to watch again.
Yeah, it's like same with Scream. Like I could skip Scream 3 every time. I'm not big on Scream 3.
Let's not say silly things now.
No,
That
I'm not
wasn't
big on Scream 3.
that one got Carrie Fisher in it and Courteney
Yeah.
Cox's worst haircut ever put to film.
Yeah, that haircut's trash.
Yeah.
Like,
Cool. We've got a definitive Cinematch ranking of Wallace and Gromit.
we do.
I have also been told to tell you that someone is disappointed in both of us. For last week, we talked about best soundtrack to a sequel, and neither of us mentioned Frozen 2.
What did we say?
I said Tron. I
What did I
can't
say?
remember what I said.
I can't remember what I said. Mamma Mia 2.
You did.
Who wanted Frozen 2 in there?
Have a guess.
I don't know who likes. Oh, your lovely lady.
Yeah.
I've always got to be
To be
careful. I
fair,
know who
I'm
wins first.
not gonna lie. If I thought of it, I would have gone with Frozen 2 over Tron Legacy because the Frozen 2 soundtrack is so much better than the Frozen 1 soundtrack. I'm out here saying it. I'll put that on the internet. Frozen 1 soundtrack, dog shit.
Whoa, Love is an Open Door is a tune.
Well, so is Lost in the Woods.
Yeah,
And
I like that. That's my favorite song from the second one.
Show Yourself. Brilliant.
I
Absolute
do like the
banger.
second soundtrack. I'm happy with my Mamma Mia.
Well,
Good.
yeah.
It was either that or High School Musical 2 for me. I suppose I didn't think of all the Disney ones.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of Disney like sequels. Like, I know it's obviously there's not many songs in it, but you could have said Toy Story 2.
Oh yeah, to be fair, that would have been a really
And
fucking good
She
one.
Loved Me. What a banger.
That would have been a really good one.
Yeah. Well, that episode's already out, so it's too late for that. It's been out a
That's,
week.
you know what? That's actually a good point. I literally thought about it a second ago, and then it completely left my brain. And I was going to ask you about it, but then I went on a tangent to talk about something else. Once we've both watched the new one, are we doing a bonus episode to see how that one ranks?
We
Like a
could do.
bonus 15-minute episode on how
Yeah.
that one ranks.
See how, see, share our thoughts on it and then decide where it slots into the list.
Apparently, it ranks really like the peak. It had a premiere already. I don't know why. I think it was Cannes, maybe. I don't know, or some film festival. And everybody's saying it's like 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10.
Really? That's
So
good then. Like, I look forward to
interesting.
that.
Interesting.
It all seems to be well reviewed. I don't think there's a single one that's had bad reviews, really. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, we can do a little mini episode when that comes out. Share our thoughts on the new one.
Nice.
Whether the return of Feathers McGraw lives up to his original appearance. Fingers crossed, because he's got quite the reputation.
He definitely has merchandise included.
Yeah, I thought when you said that though, when you said oh you just thought of something after we talked about the sequel, I thought you were gonna say are we gonna do best third movies? And I was thinking I'm not sure there's gonna be that many in there.
Well, could we do a trilogy episode? No, I ain't fucking played about with that. It's
How
too
many
much.
even trilogy like third installments are good?
Yeah, well, that would be a good way to challenge ourselves, finally.
Yeah,
Trying to think of good third movies.
we can mention Superman 3 with Richard Pryor.
Which I still think is better than Superman 2. So, go
That's
fuck yourself.
criminal. Criminal.
All right, well,
Anyway, that's gonna bring us
I've
to an end
already told you this story in person, but I'll put it on the internet anyway, just for
What's
repeats.
that?
Obviously, last week we talked about us watching Christopher Reeve and
Oh, yeah.
how we both had to kind of hold ourselves.
Yeah,
But I was
you just
telling
said you then. You fucking had to check yourself because you don't even pretend for 1 minute you weren't in tears as well.
Somebody at work, obviously working in cinemas, so somebody at work said, "Oh, I watched it. I saw that you watched it. It was really good." And I was like, "Yeah, Cal cried like a bitch."
Yeah, don't admit that you did. You were just as bad. Was it someone that knew me?
They probably would know you, but I don't
Probably already
know.
know that I cry at everything then.
Probably.
Yeah, there's no point
I'd love to tease everybody what we're doing next week, but we don't know.
No, we like to leave that to
We've
the one.
gone from being really organized to back to standard.
Yeah, I mean, we were organized about a week and a half.
I'd say about a week.
Well,
But
yeah, the house pushing it. Yeah, we actually don't know what we're going to do yet, but there's some big films coming out, so we could figure something out.
we'll figure something out.
Yeah, but. that'll bring this week's episode to an end then. Thanks for watching slash listening to anyone that's made it this far. I'll be surprised if anyone's even put up with us chatting absolute nonsense, especially the end. None of this has been relatable to the episode one bit, but we do it
This
anyway.
is usually what we do.
Yeah, that's true. We waffle a lot. But if you guys did enjoy this, then please feel free to like and subscribe to the YouTube channel or leave us a nice review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever else you're listening that it's available. Also follow our Instagram page. It's the only one we really post on now because we give up on
Yeah.
it.
The Facebook's just doesn't work with what I like doing with the Instagram page now.
Yeah, Facebook's
Because
pain.
now I've learned how to do those posts where you can scroll through and it looks like one big picture. You can't do that on Facebook.
No, Facebook just have to settle me out. And we gave up on X because I mean that's a fucking hellhole of a site now anyway.
And I don't support the person that, I mean, I know you do and you love the new president of the United States, but I don't support any of that stuff. So I requested we don't use that platform anymore.
Listen, you could try that on anyone, but anyone that knows me is probably sick to death of the shit I share on my stories against that orange bitch.
I looked at the I was like, what, just out of curiosity, what was the last thing we posted on the X page? And even the X page has still got the Christmas logo on there.
It has been about almost a year then.
Yeah,
Oh,
because
that feels like a little
forgot to
bit.
say, I went to just gonna ramble for a little, just a little 5 more seconds. Went to my first hockey game, and I've tried football, I've tried basketball, I've tried all these other sports. People are always trying to get me into sports, and I never like it. But now I am a hockey fan. I like sport now, so if you need somebody on a sport podcast, I'm your man. As long as you're talking about hockey, but not specifically rules or anything like that, just the vibes.
And not the famous hockey league, the National Hockey League in America.
Yeah, just the
This is
one
going to
that
be
I went
the very
to.
obscure English one with the Nottingham.
What is the Panthers League?
I couldn't even tell you.
Okay, well, you know sports, so
How often do you think I watch UK hockey?
carry on signing off. I'm just going to sit here.
I don't even know if they have UK hockey televised. I don't know where you'd watch games without being in the actual arena.
Amazon, I
Did
think.
you just make that up, or did you know that?
No, I think you get it off Amazon.
Well, I'll take your word for
Can't believe I finally like a sport you don't give a fuck to.
No, yeah, you went to one hockey game, shoot your fucking Wayne Gretzky.
I'm not trying to find it. Right.
Peace
Right.
out, all.